We continue the wake-up call. Our pleasure to bring in Howard Earl Stonecker.
Man, can you imagine the stories this man could tell?
I know it. I'm glad he's able to join us this morning and talk about some of those. As just this past weekend, he was honored with the field in his name. And my grandfather, Thomas, as they unveiled the scoreboard there opening day at Dixie Youth. And Howard Earl, thank you for coming in this morning.
Well, Michael, I appreciate it. Appreciate being with you guys. And you stole a little of my thunder a while ago, something you said on the radio before I got here, because one of the things I was going to tell you, see, Thomas had got out of coaching for a while. You're the reason he got back in it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he reminded
you
me.
You are the reason he got back in it.
And, yeah.
Yeah, he and I had a lot of great time.
Thanks to him, I was the number one pick that year. he had to, and he bellyached about it the whole time. I had to give 1,000 points for you, whatever the points thing was done. But
he coached, reminded you of it.
Oh, yeah, he did. It was funny. Back when I was you remember it was Little League, and they called it Minor League, and then it was up to the next level, and I think they just called that Little League. And that's when, had to start having tryouts and all that. And he came back to coach the team that year. We were the Braves. And he got the coach up until, early in the season, and then he had to go on the second shift, and he didn't get to stick around. But it was fun.
Well, Howard Earl, how many years exactly did you coach down there?
Well, I know for sure, Shane, 49, but I got to counting up, and I think it was 51.
Wow. Now, how did you get into it? And how did Thomas, my late grandfather, into it?
I got Thomas in it.
How did that work out?
But it worked out good.
How did it come about?
Oh, okay. I got out of the Army in 57. In 1958, I went into Little League. Assistant coach, Lion Braves, Herman Harris. Mr. Herman Harris used to be a businessman here, Chevrolet deal and all. But then he just coached the 1 year. His son finished. And so I took the Lion Braves, and I had them the next couple of years. And the second year I had them, like he's talking about your granddaddy, they put me on the second shift in the mill, and so I was on that a few weeks. But then when I came back, Judy's uncle, John Golden, and Ed Hathcock was helping me. And when I come back, they were doing most of it, and so I just felt like they deserved to have the ball team. So I bowed out the rest of that year, and Coach Little came to my house and wanted to know if I'd be willing to help Pete Cottle. He needed somebody. And I said, well, I couldn't this year because I had picked up some good young ball players, Blackie Spivey, Whitey Spivey, Gary Moore, Jimmy Hill, Bill Hudson, boys like that. But anyway, he said, would I help Pete the next year? And I said, well, yeah, I'll do that. And that's probably the greatest – one of the greatest things ever happened to me in Little League was the year I went with Pete, because he and I were together 10, 11 years, and we won 8 championships. And matter of fact, the Lion Braves beat us one time. JC's beat us one time. And but anyway, then I got to talking to Thomas, because I knew Thomas was like me. He loved kids, and he loved ball. And he and I were real close. He'd come over to the house a lot, and so Snick Dubose took the Rotary Yankees, and so Thomas helped him. And I think Snick coached maybe 1 year or something, then Thomas took it over from there. And Thomas wound up coaching probably 30 years. But we had a lot of good battles. But, see, I coached 15 years before I had a son. And I'm just sharing a few things with you now, my feelings. And I'm not patting myself on the back of being a mean old man, but I did it my way. And one night when we was going to the auction, Thomas was going with me and Pete, and he said, I got a question I want to ask y'all. He said, how come y'all don't never have no problem with these parents? He said, they'll call me and cuss me out and this and that and other. Well, Michael, only thing I can figure is we always had a meeting the first day of practice and went over everything with the parents, what they could expect out of us, what we expected out of the kids. And we gave them an opportunity then, if they couldn't go along with that, tell us now. We'd help them get them on another team, no problem. But once they left that day, they were ours. And, but anyway, just things like that.
And could you do the things you did then now?
No, my wife. My wife.
So we're talking about duck walking and all, and that's the one that comes
to mind. Well, my wife will tell you right now, she's told people that I couldn't coach now. I mean, I helped Richie and them and Craig speaking, but I was just piddling. But I couldn't coach now. Judy said that they'd put me in jail. and they probably would. And the duck walk, of all things, where I got the duck walk from, many, many, many years ago, watching a game show, Beat the Clock, on TV. And the guy was demonstrating that. And, of course, they did things on there where you win prizes. Well, I got down in my room and was going to do that. And I thought, yeah, hey, this might work. But now I added some things to it. Let me explain it real quick. Rich's had other coaches has had. Matter of fact, talking about Coach Baines. Coach Baines used to run into me, and he said, well, I tell old so-and-so, if they didn't straighten up, I was going to make them do the Howard Earl duck walk. But Rich and him would duck walk. Other coaches would duck walk them. Coach Baines would duck. But my duck walking, you got down, put your hands behind your head. You had to quack like a duck. Now, if up where you was going to duck walk from to another point, if your knee touched, if your hands come down, if you quit quacking, you went back and started over. You had to do it. But you know, it didn't take too many times to pass second base. And what I used it for was try to get a kid's attention. Now, I'll give you an example. Take a second baseman. Okay, he puts his glove down wrong. We'd always stop what we was doing, go out there and show him what he did wrong and tell him. Now, we'd do it the second time if he done it. But if he done it third time, three strikes and you're out, and you had duck walk.
Yeah.
And it didn't take too many duck walkings that he'd start putting that glove down right. He'd start getting in front of that ball and – well, that's what the duck walk was.
You know, it happened here, and I guess you could say you were kind of the founder of the duck walk for baseball, and other coaches have done it. I know that happened, but do you know if anybody else in other towns had picked up on that, and it maybe you started something with that?
Nah, I don't really.
It'd be interesting to go around and see, wouldn't it?
Yeah, my dad used to just take his foot and kick you right in the butt with it.
Yeah.
Of course, you couldn't do that these days.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I tried to teach kids two things, baseball and respect. And now I'm telling you, my dad would go with me to practice a lot of time. And we'd start home, and you remember when you done old so-and-so, you know, got on him and this and that and other, and I knew what daddy's going to do because it happened many times. He'd say, you turned, and when you turned your back, he shot you a bird. But I told Daddy, I said, yeah, but he didn't do it to my face, did he? He said, no. But I love the kids, and your granddaddy loved the kids. And we worked hard. We probably practiced more than anybody. And we practiced every day. Well, Jonathan Johns up there Saturday was talking about, thought we practiced all the time. We practiced every day except Sunday till the first ball game. Then we practiced every day except that Saturday and Sunday. But I just believed in practice. I believed in fundamentals. We tried to teach them good fundamental baseball. And Shane probably will agree with me on this. I don't know. But back then, Michael, the kids coached bases. We had kids on our team, some of our team, that absolutely could coach bases better than some of these coaches I see try to coach bases now.
Oh, I'll agree with you there.
And, of course, I'm just, like I said, I'm just sharing a few things with you. The only time in all the years I coached that my wife got upset at me, I picked my oldest boy up. He rode the bench 2 years. Now, he played, because we played everybody every ball game. But one day, I was going to pray. She said, I want to ask you something. I said, what? She said, I just want to know why Scotty ain't starting. Said, he's your son. You ought to love him. I walked up to her, and I said, I love you, and I'm going to tell you one time. I do love him. I know he's my son. But, Michael, this is the way I lived and coached. I said, as long as I have another boy that comes to practice and hustles and is a better ball player than my son, that kid's going to start. And see, I see kids now starting because their daddy's a coach. Now, I don't have no problem with a guy coaching his son. My problem comes when he puts that child ahead of that other ball. Don't you think them other boys know it? Sure they do. But that's the way I was. But you know what? That's the first only time Judy never opened her mouth again. And I thank God for, because people don't know what all she went through all them years. Because, and my biggest regret, Shane, and I, this is one of the reasons I love Shane, because of his son, what he does. And but my biggest regret, I guess, in all the years, and if I was telling some of them up at the ballpark Saturday, hey, buddy, if I had it to do over, the one thing I didn't do that I wish I'd done was carried my kids when they was little to practice with me. I was too busy coaching everybody else's son, not worrying about mine until they got to age where they could play. And that's my biggest regret in all the years, that I did not carry my own kids with me to practice. And, but just a lot of things. And I guess I'm the only coach that's ever coached up there. I felt that way then. I still feel this way now. Don't like All-Stars. I'm sorry. I know people love All-Stars. I don't like it because it's the same way now it was back yonder 50 years ago. You got boys that ought to be on there that ain't on there, and you got boys that ain't on there that ought to be on there. And it still works that way, and that's why I don't like that. And but God really blessed me, and we just had some great boys, and but we worked them and we taught them, and I don't know, and we won championships, Michael, some years. We really didn't have the best ball team, but the team we had out hustled them other team, and they wanted it worse though. And I got some minutes over Thomas. I talked to Jimmy Brodzinski last night. And I told you, he said if he'd have known about it, he'd have been here. One of the best ball players ever stepped on that field. And we used to play your granddaddy. And Thomas always tell my daddy, because Thomas and daddy were real close. Yeah, and they had a boy at that time. He was adopted, Tony Williams. Now, you'll know him. Tony Navarre is his name. He run a muffler shop here for a while now. One of the best pitchers that have been up there. The only ball games he lost for Thomas was when he faced us. And the reason he faced us, now I'm going to lead in what I was going to tell you. Thomas would tell Daddy, said, oh, yeah, we playing Howell Earl and him tonight. They'll ask Brodzinski. But Thomas say, hey, he'll pitch Brodzinski. But he hated that. But Thomas was a real good coach. Won a lot of ball. And see, him and I eventually coached together. And we won about 3 championships, and we had an undefeated team together. And I'm just blessed, man. I just had good kids. But like I said, one of the good things we had, and we didn't have no problem with the parents. Now, I'm not no dummy. I ain't smart. I wasn't born yesterday. I know there were some of them that probably talked about us behind our back and stuck us in their back, but they never come and said nothing. Because I'm going to tell you, they knew this. If they come complaining, well, why ain't you starting, my boy? Why ain't you doing? You know what old Howard Earl would do? I'd give him his uniform. He was through. And when I started helping Pete, and I kid Pete about this now, Pete really got me to be the personnel man. I was the one that had to run kids off. P- Pete was Mr. Goody Two Shoes, man. He wouldn't get on nobody. But and I'm not saying that because I'm proud of that. But hey, if a kid didn't want to play, he wasn't going to take up the rest of the kids on that ball team's time and everything. But I guarantee you one thing, I can look you dead straight in the eyes like I'm doing. In all them years, with my hand of God, I never mistreated a kid. Never did. I loved them. And I know Danny Gray at this reunion we had a few years back where you had a lot of ball players and coaches come back. Old Danny said, well, he never knew. I was talking about how tenderhearted I really was. And he said, well, they never didn't know I was tenderhearted. But we just had so many great ball players, great kids. And I just, so that was an honor. They got me. You usually don't pull one on me, but they got me Saturday, and I really appreciate it. And but I told you on the phone, like I told Shane a while ago, and I'll say right here in front of him, I would have he'd rather seen a lot of the old players. Of course, I know they's trying to keep it hush, but I would have rather seen a lot of the old ball players show up and been able to see them than my name being on the scoreboard. Because all them years I did that, it wasn't getting my name and Thomas's name on the scoreboard. It was because I love kids. And you know, in Christian work, you'll hear different people say that, well, they had a heartbeat to be a missionary. This one might have had a heartbeat to be an evangelist. Well, Michael, my heartbeat was kids. That was my kids, and I just loved kids. And but God gave me, I told the people up there Saturday, that the little bit of talent I had, God gave it to me, and I give him all the honor and glory. But I could get it out of a kid. I guarantee you, I could motivate a kid. And I don't know, it's just something God gave me. But I don't know. I mean, it's been a wonderful life. I wish my health was still where I could. But no, the question you asked way back in, no, I couldn't coach now. I believe what my wife said, they put me in jail.
Well, it's very interesting. I mean, we could sit here and talk all day, could we?
We could do a whole mini series on this all day, every day.
And I hope that maybe we can do something to bring back some of those former players' years. 50 years plus in baseball, yeah, here in town.
Well, see, I ain't just talking
and
about
trying to get them all would be, I mean, you know, you can make a couple hundred.
I ain't just talking about Howard Earl's players. And I know you know that. And I know Shane, I think, knows me well enough. And Rick, that I ain't, I'd love to see them. But I'm talking about Thomas's players, too.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about John Golden's players. I'm talking about players that played back then and all.
Well, now these former players have a very good reason to come back this year and come to the ball games and maybe see you around. They can see your name out there on the scoreboard.
Well, last year was the first time in over 50 years that I never went to the ballpark one time. And but I helped Robin Butler setting up there years ago at a ball game. You know, come two boys around the fence coming around towards me, and that little boy come up and said, I love you. And I looked, and I really didn't recognize it. It was little Robin. See, I picked Robin up when nobody else would pick him up because he wasn't a good ball player, Michael. I told
this is my uncle, Robin, by the way.
Yeah, I told your granddad.
And he wasn't any good. You're right.
I told your granddad.
Just kidding.
Well, no, I'm talking about, hey, that's why a lot of coaches wouldn't do it. But we did it. We picked him up, Pete and I. And you know what? We loved having him. He loved being with us. And he played. He didn't start, but he played. But he's never forgot that. And there's a lot of things that you see happen and you do for them. Because I told all them coaches, well, on the microphone, I told them all up the other day, I said, you love them kids. And I got news for all of them, and I've told coaches this before. You do not fool kids. They know if you really love them. And I got news for you. That kid knows if you know what you're talking about. It's just like I taught children's church for 30 years. And I'm telling you, that's hard, man, because You don't get up before them kids and try to tell them about Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you can't do it. But they know you. I'm just saying, just like in baseball, they know it. You know what you're talking about. And we've done a lot. I could share with you all, you and Shane. We've done some things, man. We used to have infield, you wouldn't believe. We had our third baseman if they was a boy on third base. And they tell them that, don't forget, tag up on the ground ball, run on the fly ball. They put that thought in that boy's head.
And run on the ground ball, tag on the fly ball, yeah.
And William McClellan had played for Tommy. Your granddaddy got to yell at me one time, and Pete, we was playing him.
Whatever I said. Did I say it wrong, too? Tag on a fly ball, run on a ground ball.
Yeah, but if the third baseman's tag on the
ground. Unless he's, yeah. Tag up on the ground ball, run on the fly ball, what we taught. That's the wrong thing, but that's what we put.
That's what the third baseman would tell the guy on third base.
Oh, you're saying you said it to the other player on the other team.
I was third baseman.
I thought you said your third base coach was saying that. Okay, no, I'm behind the times.
And here's
sorry.
The thing about it. I taught this lesson to Thomas. It was one of the times that we was coaching against him, and he got so upset at me because we did this more than once. And we even had a Babe Ruth team. It done it one time. I wasn't coaching, but we told him this. Because some of the boys that played Little League for us was on that Babe Ruth team. William McClellan one time went down to second base on a pass ball. I was shortstop, told him, foul ball. He turns and starts back. We throw it over and get him out. Boy, Thomas comes charging out of that dugout. And I walked out there. I said, look, cuz, you need to teach your kids this. I said, this is what I tell our ball players. I said, if anybody in that ballpark got to stay awake, it's got to be the coach. And I said, you got to coach them to ask either you or the umpire if that was a foul ball. I said, don't take that other ball player's word for it. Oh, we done all kind of crazy things. And bunting, we bunted more than anybody's up and up at. And Casey Davidson, mama couldn't stand it. But she loved it when we won a lot of them ball games because we was bunting, boy. And, boy, we had some boys that could bunt that baseball. You get a run on base, we got him in there. But, anyway, I rambled a lot. Didn't mean to ramble that much. But
No.
I mean, like I said, we could do this all day, every day.
It's good stuff. Howard Earl, congratulations. You deserved it. And we hope to see you down at the ball field some this year, all right?
Yeah, you will. Oh, yeah, you will. And I appreciate it. And my biggest regret, I wish Thomas would have still been alive.
Me too. That. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming in. Tell Richie we appreciate him standing by out there in the car or two, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Okay. Y'all have a great day.
You too. Howard Earl Stonaker, field named in his honor, Thomas Stonaker posthumously as well.
51 years of coaching.
A lot of years with those kids, and you know he loved every minute of it. We'll take a break. More coming your way here from the Wake Up Call.